We are going to begin what is called the 40-day journey to the cross. And I pray that we will all join together. It's a journey that we all need to make. It's a spiritual journey to the cross and to the empty tomb of Jesus. Why 40 days? 40 days is going to be a 40 days that is going to bring us into an intimate relationship even more than we have with Christ. It's going to be, as we go through the book, there's a reading for every day of the week. And it takes you from the time that Jesus entered into Jerusalem to his agony in the garden, to the cross, and then to the empty tomb. It will end on Good Friday, and then we, of course, will celebrate the Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection on the Sunday immediately following. So the 40 days begins Monday, and it ends on Good Friday. And it's a journey that will transform us. Anytime we take time to sit and go over the Scriptures and go through the Word of God and meditate on it, that journey that Christ took from coming down from heaven through his ministry on earth to his through the cross, it changes us and it transforms us. It will teach us even more. We never cease to learn from the Word of God. God's Word, every time we open it, it's a living book. The Word of God is living and alive. And every time we open it and we read it and meditate on it, God has a way, through the Holy Spirit, God has a way to make us see new things. We learn lessons. We see teaching. We see applications for our lives. And every time we open the Word of God, God will show us something new and fresh that is applicable to our lives. And so we want to begin that 40-day journey as a church. All right, why should I do this? Because I'm just so busy, 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 busy. Well, that's exactly the reason we need to do this. Because sometimes our lives get so busy that we don't know if we're coming or going anymore, you know? But we need to take that time to be in the presence of the Lord. Each day, you are only going to read one page. It's not a two or three page devotional. So each day, there's one page of scripture and some thought to meditate on. And there's a little portion below that says reflection. And so as you read that portion, and I pray that you will set aside time, you know, during the course of your day, that you make an appointed time with God to sit down. It won't take you an hour. It won't take you half an hour. But if you set aside time with God to take apart that scripture, that verse, and read it, and meditate on it, and then write down your reflections as you pray and meditate on it. Why do we want to do this journey? Because together, it's the week. Listen, the 40-day journey from Christ to the cross. It's a journey. Jesus' journey to the cross is a journey that transformed all of history. All of history was changed when Jesus went to Calvary's cross. From the time that he was nailed to that cross and he resurrected, all of known history, all the lives of the world were then changed and transformed. It's the most impacting event in the history of the world. There is no greater event than the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And of course, there could be no resurrection without the crucifixion. So the crucifixion is the most important event in the world, and especially those of us who are believers. And so as we journey through, it's going to help us, our lives, to change. It's going to help us to understand more in detail what actually happened and took place during that week. And when we come to the Resurrection Sunday, the Easter Sunday, we'll have a deeper and more appreciation and understanding of what the cross was all about. And what it most certainly will do, it will renew our passion for following Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's all about him and our following Jesus, walking with Jesus, and it will renew our walk with the Lord. It will help us, our passion to grow more on fire. We'll get to know greater. Who is Christ? Why did he come? Why did he die? And when we walk to Calvary, to Christ, with Christ, we're going to discover things about Christ that will just be enriched in our lives of what we already know concerning Him. And what do we need for that 40-day journey? You need a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, borrow one. Buy one. No, don't borrow one. Buy one. If you don't have a Bible, buy one. And if you don't know where to buy it, see me. We'll get you one real good. But you need a Bible. You need a copy of the book, The Journey to the Cross. You need these two things. You need a pen. That's not much to ask, is it? A Bible, a book, and a pen. Right? And what else do you need? Just two more things. A willing heart that wants to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. A Bible, a book, a pen, and a willing heart. And the final thing is time to reflect and to pray about each day that you read. And again, it doesn't have to be a long time, but it needs to be a time. And so set aside that time for the Lord and continue to pray that as we as a church go through this journey, that it will change us, that it will impact our lives and enrich our lives in a great new way. So we want to pray. We'll be praying for each other that God will help us to grow and renew us, our passion for Him, and God will do a wonderful, mighty, transforming work in our lives. This is just a tool to help us to go greater. So I invite you and I challenge you to take the journey, to endure, to go the distance and finish the whole thing. And I pray that we will have a real encounter with God, a life-changing encounter with God along the way, along this journey. I pray that each and every day will be a journey of transformation for us. So we will begin next Monday. We will begin tomorrow. Following Sunday, next Sunday, I'll be preaching on what we've learned and come across during that week. So the Sunday following that week will be to just drive home and bring out and enrich that which we have learned during the week, which God has made known to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. Gospel of John, chapter number 3. Our focus for the next 3 weeks, John chapter 3, verse number 14 to 16. Our journey for the next several weeks will be the cross of Christ. And in John chapter 3, verse number 14, the Word of God says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In the wilderness there, Moses, there was a God sent serpents, and the serpents were biting the people because they were distancing themselves from God. They were rebellious to God, and they were dying off. And the Lord Moses, you know, there's always people always intercede. God looks for someone to intercede and pray, for to stand in the gap for someone. And Moses prayed, and God said, "Well, take a serpent, put him on a pole, stand him up, and whoever looks upon that serpent will not be bitten, and they will live, and they will not die. And if they're bitten and they look at that, they will live." And all of us have been bitten by sin, and all of us will die. The Bible tells us that sin, when it has its way, it brings death. And unless there's a cure, unless there's a remedy for sin, we will certainly die a spiritual death. That's what the Word of God says. And so, in the Old Testament, men like David prayed, "Oh God, cleanse my heart. Send us, make a way for us to be cleansed and washed from our sinful ways." And all the prophets of the Old Testament were praying that God would make a way for their sins to be completely turned and washed away. And so, God in the Old Testament, because He couldn't bring Christ then, it says in the fullness of time, Christ sent His Son. But Jesus goes back and says, just like Moses, see, they were all familiar. Every one of them knew what Jesus was talking about. That in the Old Testament, whoever looked at that serpent, it wasn't the serpent, but it was looking at it, faith in it, believing in it, that brought them the victory. And Jesus said, whoever believes in Him, that if He be lifted up on the cross, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. So why did Jesus go to the cross? Why is the cross so important? It's so important because we need a Savior and a Redeemer. In 1 Corinthians, it says that to those who are perishing, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Some people don't want to hear about the preaching of the cross of Christ, that Christ went to Calvary to die for our sins. To them, that's absurd, that someone could die for the sins of the world. But the Bible makes clear that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, whoever looks upon him at the cross as the sacrificial Lamb of God, the one sent by God whose body and blood was shed, when they look upon the cross and realize that Jesus went there, the Bible also says that your sins and mine, all of our sins and iniquities were nailed to the cross with Jesus. And so the Bible says that if Jesus be lifted up, which he was, that he would draw all men unto himself. Jesus is crying out from Calvary to people to look at him and to believe that he is your Savior, that he is your Redeemer, that he is your Lord and your God, whose love brought him to that place where his body and blood was broken and shed for you. And so the Bible goes on to say that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. In the garden, Jesus prayed, if there be any other way. I said, there is no other way but the way of the cross. And that's why we journey to the cross, the 40-day journey to the cross. Why did Jesus have to go to the cross? What was accomplished in that going to the cross for you and me? But Jesus wants us to believe in him, and he wants us to follow him. It begins, I'll tell you where the book picks up, but I want to bring you just briefly up to where the book picks up. When the Lord spoke to Mary and to Joseph, remember the angel came to Mary and said, Mary, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and you're going to bear a son. And his name shall be called Jesus because he shall be Son of the Most High God. And the minute Jesus came and was being born in Mary, Mary was carrying him. And the minute Jesus came into their life, everything went well. No, everything started to be shaken around them. Joseph started to get all upset, and people around him started talking. Mary had to go with Elizabeth for a while. And when they came back, they automatically had to go. They had to get up and leave. They had a rough road. Mary had to ride a donkey carrying Jesus, and she was bouncing around. She didn't have no shock absorbers. Donkeys didn't have shock absorbers in those days. You know that. And when you bounce, you ever ride on a donkey? Try it sometime. And you go down a block, and you say, that's enough. I got to get off. But you take a donkey and ride him for days and for miles, and you then see what it feels like. And Mary and Joseph, they had to travel. I mean, you look at the route that they had to travel. It was a rough journey. But why did they make that journey? Because they knew. Mary knew. Joseph knew. Because the angel spoke to Joseph and said, Joseph, that which is in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. Marry her. Believe it. It's the Son of God. And so they believed that what was in Mary was precious, was something extra out of this world that was unique and valuable. And so they wanted to guard and to protect that, because remember, even Herod wanted to kill them, right? The baby, rather. So they guarded that which was in them, and they sacrificed. Mary could have stood home and just said, hey, I ain't going on no journey. I want to make myself comfortable. Jesus will take care of everything. But is that what she said? The angel says, get up and go. And she had a sacrifice. Her and Joseph made sacrifices. They had to endure a journey. And when Christ comes into your life, the road isn't going to be smooth. And you're going to have to make sacrifices in your life. But if he that is in you is more valuable and precious to you, you'll go and do what it takes to get into the presence of God, to be where God wants you to be, to go where God wants you to go. And where does God want you to go? To the body of Christ. As we were preaching in the last couple of weeks, to cleave to Jesus, to the body of Christ, where we can grow and be nourished. And that takes sacrifice. That takes a determined effort to go there, to get up and to go, to get up from the comfort of your house and to go to the house of the Lord, to be there. And so they journeyed because they knew that they had to guard what was in them. And are we guarding that Spirit, the Word of God who is in us? Are we guarding it? Are we carrying it to where God wants us to carry it and to bring it to be where God wants us to be? Then Jesus comes, after he's born, Jesus, you see him coming, after he's grown, he goes and he comes to John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, and because we'll stay in Matthew for a while, Lindsay, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, Jesus comes and he begins his teaching. He begins to manifest who he is. And we see him come on the scene and he goes to John the Baptist and he says, and John the Baptist is preaching about him. And Jesus says, John, I need to be baptized. And John says, you're not the one that needs to be baptized. I need to be baptized. When we look at Jesus, we immediately know he's greater than me. I need to bow to him. He doesn't bow to me. How many of you know Jesus doesn't bow to you? Jesus didn't bow his knee to Satan, and he's not going to certainly bow his knee to you. The Bible says, every knee, meaning your knee and mine, shall bow to who? To the Lord. And confess. The Bible says there's going to be a day coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's what John did. He bent his knee and said, Lord, you need to baptize me. I don't need to baptize you. But Jesus says, no, because I come to set an example for my believers, for those who are going to believe in me to follow. Jesus did nothing that he didn't ask us to do. In other words, Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't already done. And so Jesus said, we as believers, if we believe on him, we need to be baptized, water baptized. And if you haven't been water baptized, please see me. We'll talk about it, and we have a beautiful water baptismal here, and we will go through the Word of God with you to show you from Scripture where it's scriptural that you need to be fully immersed, baptized in the Word of God. In the water. And so Jesus was baptized. Once he's baptized, water baptized, he comes out of the water, and there he goes, and all of a sudden now the Spirit of God brings him into the wilderness, and he's tempted of God, tempted of Satan. And Satan brings every temptation upon him, and Jesus rebukes him with the Word of God. And when temptations come upon your life and my life, how do we respond? The response to any and every temptation in our life. The response to have adulterous or fornicated relationships. The temptation to steal and to rob. The temptation to do all kinds of, you name it. The temptation to do those things face us every day. No one is exempt from temptation. I don't care who you are. I don't care how holy or righteous you think you are. I don't care what church you attend. I don't care what job you have. You will face temptation some way, some shape, sometimes stronger than others, but you will be tempted. How will you respond? How do you respond to temptation? Jesus tells us to respond with the Word of God. Every time the devil came at him and tempted him, Jesus looked at him and said, Devil, it is written. The Word of God says, and that's why we need to know the Word of God. It's a good thing to know the Word of God. It's not so that you could get take a test and get a grade of A or B or C. Hopefully you won't fail. But it's not so that we can learn the Word of God to take a test and be tested and say, oh, excellent, you did an A. That's not what it's about. The Word of God is for our everyday living, for our lives and for the life of our family, of our children. Because when we know the Word of God and understand it, then we can stand upon it and speak it. It has power. The Word of God is powerful. That's what the Word of the Bible tells us, that the spoken Word of God, when we believe it, it is powerful. It changes situations and circumstances. And so the devil could not prosper against the Lord. And what it was, it showed Jesus to be more than a man. It showed Jesus to be who he is, the Son of God. And then he goes on in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 16. If you go there with me, Lindsay, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 16. Jesus was baptized, he was tempted, and then he comes on the scene and he goes out and he says, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. When people, it says people weren't walking in darkness, they weren't running, they weren't trying to find a way out, they couldn't find a way out. They were sitting in darkness. And so in this life, sitting means no effort to get up, no reason to get up. When you're sitting in a seat, you're making yourself comfortable. And wherever it is, you get in that place where you're enjoying where you're sitting, you're staying there. You're not making an effort to get up. I know all of you love to sit in here all day long, and you really aren't going to make an effort to get up and leave, are you? You're all going to sit in church. No, but it says a people sat in darkness. They were darkness, which speaks of being ignorant of the Word of God or of the truth of God or of the light of God, and it speaks also of sinfulness. And people were sitting, they were being comfortable in this world of darkness, of not knowing the truth about God, not knowing the love of God. They were comfortable in what they were doing, their everyday life. They were comfortable in cheating and robbing and doing whatever manner of thing they were doing. I mean, you could write volumes on what they were doing. But they were sitting in there and they were comfortable in their attitude. But it says, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. When you're sitting in darkness and somebody turns on a light, first you got to go like this, right? Whoa, what is that? And so these people who are sitting in darkness, Jesus went to them. They didn't get on the phone and say, hey, anybody got a light? You know, can you send over the electrician? We want to have a light installed here. Nobody did that. But Jesus went to them, to those who were sitting in darkness. Jesus came to me when I was a sinner. The Bible says when we were enemies of God, God loved us and came to us. When we were fighting against God, God still loved us and came to us. We were in darkness. We didn't know what His love was all about. We didn't know the price He paid and what He did. And we were fighting and raising our fists to God. And yet God loved us and He made His light. He turned on His light to us. And He made us see. It says the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death. When you're sitting in that place and you're comfortable in there, you're sitting in the shadows of death. Death is about to overtake you. The Bible says, I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the what? Of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Evil is all around us and waiting to bring us down, to bring spiritual death upon us. But the Bible said, if you're walking with Jesus, you'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And you will fear no evil. Because there will be no sin, there will be no thing that can overtake you to bring you down to spiritual death if you're walking with Jesus. He will bring you through. Yea, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so Jesus came to get us up out of where we're at, out of our present situation and circumstances, to get us up and bring us through the valley of the shadow of death to life. Jesus said, I've come to take you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. God doesn't want us living in darkness, living in sin, living in the things of not knowing God and who He is. Jesus came to reveal the love of God and to pull us out of darkness into that wonderful life, to know that God commands His loving kindness upon me every morning. That by His stripes I have been healed. That He's the glory and the lifter of my head. That God has a plan for your life. He has a future and a hope for you. And so He came to all those people who were sitting in darkness. And Jesus called to them to be transformed. He called them out to be transformed. 417. 417. See, Jesus came to those to people. Jesus was concerned about people. That was why He came. His desire was to come to you. Wherever you were, He would come to you. He didn't wait for you to come to Him so much. He came to you to make His presence known. He came to His people in darkness and made His presence known. And said, I am the light of the world. Will you look upon Me and believe? And so the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, is to reveal to you who Jesus is. To let the light go on and click. There He is. That's Jesus, the Lamb of God, the living Son of God. And so Jesus not only made Himself known, He just didn't appear with a smile and say, hello, you know. He then began to speak. He began to preach. He says, repent. Oh, that's a word nobody wants to hear today. Repent. What is Jesus saying? Turn. Do something about your present situation and circumstances. You're sitting in darkness. Get up and go a different direction. Repent. Turn from your sinful ways and come to Me, to the light. He says, repent. That's the first word out of His mouth. He makes His light shine and calls people to repentance. People don't want to hear that. Repentance means change. God calls you out to change you. He wants you to come to be transformed and changed. He doesn't want you to continue in what you're doing. You cannot come to the Lord, ask Him to change your life so that you can continue to do and be what you are. You come to the Lord so that He can take your life, change you and transform you, make you a new creation, and do something beautiful and wonderful in your life. He's a wonderful, life-changing God. He transforms the lives of people for the good. God doesn't change your life to make you walk with your head down and say, oh, I got to serve God the rest of my life. Woe to me. Mercy, mercy, mercy. That's not what walking with the Lord is all about. Walking with the Lord is a joyful journey.